This is the Sue Freeze Show, talking about life, relationships, and achieving.
Do you wonder why you have to feel the things that hurt you? If there's a God who loves you, where is he now? Would you dare to believe that you still have a reason to sing? Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it can't compare to the joy that's coming. So hold on, you gotta wait for the light. Press on and just fight the good fight. Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it's just the dark before the morning.
Here's your host, Sue Freeze.
I'm back again, and oh, it's so good to be back here. People say, what is the Sue Freeze Show about? And so I say, it's about the pursuit of passion, purpose, and connecting with people. I love connecting with people. What does that mean exactly? I don't know, but when it happens, when you connect with somebody on that deep level, it's such a refreshing feeling. People impact our lives both positively and negatively, and we then have a choice whether to react or respond. Our life is guided by our choices, which are based on our beliefs. Wisdom comes when we learn from our mistakes and those who have gone before us. Leverage all of this to take a chance. Dare to believe. Share your life experiences to create wisdom for another person's life, to plant a seed. Dare to make a difference. To live your life on purpose, for a purpose. That's what the Sue Freeze Show is about. When I was asked to do this show, I don't even know how it happened other than God wanted me to be here. Don't know for how long, because it's his show, not mine. But when I was asked, it was like, wow, that is a huge, huge responsibility. Why? Because I really strive to make a difference. And I know in my heart of hearts that God has placed me here for a reason, and I want to fulfill the purpose that he placed for me here. So with that, today and every day that I'm here, I always try to get guests that would be helpful for you as a listener. And I always pray. I pray, God, please put the people on this show that are going to make a difference. Put the people on here that have something to say that's going to connect with this person that's hurting or that's going through a tough time. It's God's show. And so today we have a wonderful guest. And before I go to him, I want to let you know that you can call in because this is a live show. And you can call in and be part of this show. So if you hear something and you want to know more about it, or if you just want to add something to what we're talking about, anything like that, please don't hesitate to call in. Do you have your pen ready? Write the number down. It's 888-995-5552. Again, the number, 888-995-5552. So with that, I want to introduce our guest for today. He's been on once before, and he's an amazing speaker. It's Mike Rovner, and he's a successful entrepreneur, businessman, anointed to teach Bible-based success strategies stemming from real-life experiences. And that's what it's about, real life. Mike is a firm believer in his faith, and his business practices are guided by his adherence to these beliefs. Mike is often a guest speaker, sharing his experience in business based on these principles. Mike is driven by his passion to share God's message of prosperity with a purpose and marketplace ministry in order to make a difference in the lives of people around him and everyone he meets. See, I can relate to that because I'm a business person and I want to do the same. And I try to encourage people, and biblical principles are so important to the workplace and just everyday life. Mike is the founder of Marketplace Ministries International and co-founder of Profiles for Success. Both specialize in unleashing biblical principles in the business and workplace. Mike, welcome.
Hi, Sue. Great to be here.
I'm so glad you chose to be with us today. And I'm hoping that we have some guests, some listeners that will call in. Because sometimes people tell me later, I loved what was said on your show, but I was so involved in listening that I didn't want to call in. I just wanted to hear more. And so I'm hoping someone or people call in today, because I really would like to have this interactive with more than just you and I. So I'm really encouraging people to get off the fence. I know sometimes you don't like to hear yourself on the radio. I understand that. But call in if you can. So, Mike, what are you doing now in business and ministry?
Well, in business, we have a construction company which remodels apartment buildings, condominiums, shopping centers, and also commercial buildings. And one of the most exciting projects that we're doing right now, Sue, is that we're remodeling the Dream Center in downtown Los Angeles for Matthew and Tommy Barnett, and that ministry touches over 100,000 people a week.
I've heard about the Dream Center. In fact, I heard him speak at one of your profiles for success, and I had heard about the Dream Center, but I had never seen the people behind it that God has put in place. And when I saw the guy, I'm like, wow, he's so young. How can he be in charge of all of this? But that's God.
Yeah, it's totally God. And so we're working on that project, and we're just working on several projects. We have about 15 active construction jobs going. And so our company really, 2008 was a great year for our company, even in a down economy, and 2009 was better than 2008, and we're actually projecting now as the year ending that 2010 will be equal or better than 2009. So we're still plugging along, doing really well. And so in ministry, I'm just, we've been helping churches start outreaches for their business people. What we found is that every church has something for the youth, or they have something for the children, or something for the women. But we're finding only one out of 50 churches has something for the workplace and or the marketplace. And what from what our perspective, that is the great harvest field is the marketplace.
Well, that's the future, and it's giving people more jobs. And teaching people how to get a job and keep a job and for God's kingdom.
Yeah, absolutely. Sue, and here's the thing is that, you know, people go to work a minimum of, the average person goes to work a minimum of 8 hours a day. So where they go is really their mission field. And it's they're at their job where they, their sphere of influence, where they interact with people every day. And so what we're doing is one of the main things we're doing is we're just helping churches start outreaches, training and resourcing for their workplace people, so the people that go to their church will be trained on how to win their sphere of influence for Jesus Christ, and also how to put biblical principles into practice in their job, which, you know, we found that's why our company has been so successful, is we found that the Bible is really the success book. I mean, I'm not putting the Bible into practice in my business to be successful, but that's like the byproduct of it.
I understand that totally. Sometimes when I'm in a tough decision and I think, okay, what would God do? What would Jesus do in this situation? And there are biblical principles and parables that can guide us in our everyday life. And so many Christians, we're talking to the Christians now, they separate their lives. They separate, well, okay, I go to church on Sunday, so I'm going to do this thing over here on Sunday. But then the rest of the hours spent during the week are at work, and they're so focused on work that they don't realize that we are one person. And we're all to be how we are and who we are is who we are all the time. So yeah, there shouldn't be the separation.
Yeah, I agree totally. And you know what? Here's the thing is that, you know, we talk openly like about putting biblical principles into practice in our job. And it's really not complicated stuff. It's kind of like acting with integrity on your job. It's forgiving people that treat you wrong. You know, I always tell business people, I'm like, you're going to work with people. You're basically jumping into a snake pit in your job often, and then you're expecting not to get bit. You know, we have to expect that. You know, sinners, if we're working with sinners, what do sinners do? They sin.
Right.
So, you know, and we have to learn how to, you know, not be bitter. We have to learn how to forgive people that we work with. I mean, you know, one of the greatest things that I ever was able to learn how to do, Sue, was that I learned to work with difficult people. I mean, you know, sometimes, like, if, you know, as Christians, we'll be working with people, and we'll think if they're a difficult person, then they're from the devil, and that we shouldn't even be working with them. But once you can push through working with a difficult people, difficult person, I mean, they end up being, you know, maybe a great person to work with, and also you get the opportunity to make an impact on them for Jesus Christ.
That is so true, and that's happened many times with me. And learning, we have to understand other people, and we have to put other people before ourselves. And part of that is just understanding them. It doesn't mean agreeing. It means understanding.
Yeah, totally. I 100% agree. I mean, there lies another principle, would be like Philippians 2:2, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others as you consider yourself. And so I think that's, you know, that's another great principle that people can put into practice in their job. And so I think what happens too is we put the Bible into practice, you know, in our lives basically, but specifically in our jobs, then we become a great witness for Jesus Christ.
The word servant comes to mind. I used to be heavily involved in my church before I bought Ecola, and when I was I enjoyed it so much. I didn't get paid for it. And, you know, some people say, well, you know, money drives and money is a motivator. It's really not. It's feeling like you're doing something worthwhile. And so when I was doing all the things I was doing with church and I had to step down, well, first of all, when I was doing those things, there were difficult people that I couldn't get to usher the way I wanted to usher. And I'd be so frustrated because I couldn't fire them, right?
Yeah.
So in the workplace, you know, we do have that kind of thing where, you know, you are going to do it the way Ecola wants it done, or, you know, maybe we need to separate and you go your way, I go mine. That's true. But they might have something that is bothering them, and we have to get to the bottom of that, and then maybe we can resolve it, and then maybe we learn something from that, which is opportunity for improvement. So all those things said, servanthood is when you go to work, who are you working for?
Right. Great. That's really super good, Sue. Is, you know, one of the things that I realized, and we try to instill in the people we work with, is that, you know, our clients are owners, they're institutional owners, real estate investment trust companies, and we're a contractor. So when we're doing a job for them, we work for them. And what does that mean? It means that we're putting their interests in front of ours. I mean, we're trying to figure out, you know, how and what they are trying to accomplish and trying to become part of their team to accomplish it. They're not, you know, they're not in business for us. We're in business for them. I mean, they're our clients, so we're working for them. I mean, it has to, you know, we have to be able to do a job or do a service for someone and make a profit so that we can keep, you know, obviously so we can keep our lights on, and that, you know, we need to make a profit. But the bottom line is that we're working for them. And I think that that's something that people that own their own business and also people that are working for a company, they forget that when you're working for someone, you work for them and their interests, right?
And if you're a Christian, you're working for God. Sometimes your boss might not be the best boss, but you still have an opportunity or an obligation to work for God and do your best at all times. I think sometimes people, whether you're Christian or not, I just have this strong belief in this inner drive within me that if I'm going to place my hand or put my name or put any energy at all, that I think a biblical principle is that you get out what you put in, number one. And number two is that if I'm going to do anything, I'm going to do it to the best of my ability, or I'm going to say, I'm not going to take that on right now. So those that are listening, if you're going to do anything, you do it for God if you're a Christian. But whether you're a Christian or not, which I'm hoping we all get to where we believe and we understand the love of Christ and how he died for us and sacrificed for us so much. But until then, when you go to work, give it your all, 100%. All, when you're working, give 100%. And like you said, we spend a lot of hours at work.
Right.
And we need to understand our gifts that God gave us so that we can apply those gifts and feel good and significant and purposeful in whatever we put our hand on. So I'm hoping that that's what happens, and that what, you know, listeners listening, that they understand. If you're not happy in your workplace, what would you say to those people, Mike? If somebody's not happy in their workplace, what would be your guide? What would you tell those people?
Well, I would have to say if somebody is not happy with their job, I would tell them two things. Either, you know, change your attitude and be able to work with joy in your job, or resign and find a new job that you could be happy at. Because if you're not happy and you're not, you're at your job and you're totally unhappy, then, you know, the way you act and your countenance is going to come out, you know, in your work. And that's definitely not going to be a good example of Christ for you in your job. So either, you know, pray and ask God to help you and change your heart and change your attitude, or resign and get a new job.
That's good advice. This is the Sue Freeze Show at 99.5 KKLA. The phone number to call in is 888-995-5552. Again, 888-995-5552. And if you're not, near radio and you wanted to listen, I want everybody to know that you can stream this radio show with KKLA.com. And it's nice because the signal goes a lot further on the computer than it does on the radio. So it's nice to have that. Mike, tell us a little about how you got started. Let's hear a little bit about your story.
Well, you know, I started out in the construction arena. The first job I ever had, actually, Sue, was I was 17 years old, and I was there was a man that owned a drywall and acoustic ceiling repair company. He used to spray acoustic ceilings, and he lived across the street from my house. I got a job working for him, and what he would do is he'd kind of leave me on the job and let me do a lot of the work myself. And then as the months went on, he would basically just leave me on the job site and let me do all the work myself. So that's how I learned how to do my first, you know, my first construction trade. And what would happen was, by the time I was done with the job, I would actually get the check from the owner and be out front waiting for him. So I did that for like 6 or 8 months. And then after that, I decided, hey, you know, this isn't very hard. Maybe I could do this on my own.
That didn't take long for you to come up with that conclusion.
No, so I was kind of an entrepreneur. And I kind of wanted to do it on my own. And then I worked for one of my uncles, and he was a handyman. And this was in my early 20s, and this is before I accepted Christ. So I was working for my uncle, and we would work kind of off and on. And what happened was he cut his hand really super badly on a table saw, and he cut some nerves, and it was really bad. And so he's on medication and not being able to go out onto job bids, and so we weren't working, and so I was kind of just home, and the phone would ring, and, you know, we'd get opportunities for jobs, and finally I asked him, Sue, I said, his name is Rick, I said, Uncle Rick, is it all right if I go out on some of these estimates? And he said, sure, no problem. So I started going out on these estimates, and what happened was I would get almost every job that I'd go out and estimate, and that's where I really found out, this is in my early 20s, that I was really a good salesman and a real good estimator and a project manager. I never was really good at the work part. And I think for the listeners, I would tell you is find out what you're really good at, what you're passionate about. You know, I mean, I was never good at actually doing the construction work. So if I would have continued on just doing the work, I never would have been successful in my trade. But I figured out what I was good at was estimating, and I was good at sales. I was good at kind of managing the projects. I mean, one of the things I find is that sometimes you'll find people that are super good at the actual doing or applying whatever the job is, maybe in the construction arena. They'd be really good at carpentry, and then they go and try to start their own business and become a salesperson, and they just fall flat on their face.
Right.
Because what they're really good at is actually the mechanics of the work. And so, you know, if you're really good at the mechanics of the work, then hire somebody or team up with somebody that's really good in sales.
The gift thing is so amazing, you know, to learn your gifts and learn where God has called you to go. I talk about that at work because there's people that, you know, they talk about the round hole and the peg and it not fitting and all those things. And to find people that feel good about what they're doing. It's usually things that you're good at, like if people in school, you know, if there's subjects that you liked in school, you probably were very good at those subjects. For instance, I was good with spelling. So I loved spelling because I was good at it. I wasn't so good with history. So history wasn't my big thing.
Yeah.
So I think everybody, even from high school, even before high school, you know, in elementary school, there were things that you were good at. I was good at dodgeball. So I was athletic, but there were other people that were better at other things than I was. So we need to look at what we're good at and work within our gifts.
Right. I agree.
And it helps us in business and at home. It just makes you feel more fulfilled when you're working within your strengths. And there's tests and programs that you could take to help you if you're not sure. In fact, in the church I was working in, there was a spiritual gifts class that we went through the class, and then I was actually the person that would help pinpoint the gifts that God had given us, and then I would pinpoint where they would serve because that would feel good for them. So it's nice to know where your gifts are, and if you need help in that, there are places you can go to get, like, what are some? Do you know some names of some testing that you can do? Briggs and Myers is one. There's a lot of different ones that you can learn what your gifts are. And it's really, really interesting information. How did you get started in your ministry?
Before I tell you that, let me. I just wanted to tell a little bit about my testimony of how I came to know Christ, because
it
kind
of
ties into where I'm at. I shared that, you know, like I felt like from a young businessman I had the entrepreneurial skill set. And what happened is, that if you read my bio, Sue, it says that I had been an entrepreneur from the age of 13. And I know you know my story. My testimony is that I was a drug dealer from the age of 13.
No, really?
Yes. And so what happened is that lifestyle went on until I was in my mid-20s, and I met Janet, who this woman, who's now my wife.
Yes.
And she was a backslidden Christian. And basically what happened was, I always tell people, Sue, when you fall in love with a woman, you'll do just about anything they ask. And
I've heard that numerous times. Yes.
And so she asked me to go to church. And, you know, so here I am, a drug dealer, and she drags me to this church. And after the service, she drags me up to the front, and there's a little woman there. And the woman says, repeat this prayer after me. And here was a prayer. It's a very simple prayer. God, come into my life and take the things out that you want out and put the things that you want in Jesus' name. Really simple, correct?
Right.
And so the very next day, an exciting thing happened is my house got raided by the police.
Oh, my goodness.
I always tell people, be careful for what you pray for. It might just happen.
Oh, my goodness. That's scary stuff.
And so, you know, I was in jail that night. See, when I cried out to God and I said, God, how could you do this to me? I just gave you my life. And I really, first time I ever sensed that God was actually, you know, speaking to my spirit, and I really felt like God said, I did this for you, I have a new plan for your life. And then, so Jan and I, we got married, and we prayed, and we found a local church, and we went there in Simi Valley. And so I had a small drywall repair business, like I was telling you about.
Mm-hmm.
I had started my own business after I stopped working for my uncle. And so, you know, obviously I was born again now, and I quit doing everything. I quit doing drugs. I quit being involved with it. You know, I totally changed my friends. I mean, that's what I always tell people. I mean, if you want to get to somewhere that you're not at right now, sometimes you have to change the people you're hanging around with.
So I agree with that.
I mean, all the people that I hung around with, I just stopped hanging around with. And especially after I started going to church, they thought I was really weird. So they just totally avoided me. But you know, one of the coolest things is, you know, tons of those people have now gotten born again over the last 18 years. This was 18 years ago. And so I went to this church where the pastors in Simi Valley, New Beginnings Church in Simi Valley, and the pastors are like professors of the Word of God, and they would just teach the Word of God, and I would just take what I learned on Sunday, and I put it into practice on Monday in my little drywall repair business. And so we went from doing jobs of $100 jobs to $500 jobs to the job today at the Dream Center that we're doing is $25
million. Wow. Wow, that's amazing.
But
you know
cool?
what? It's God. It's totally God. You're being faithful. And look what God does. It's much bigger than you probably ever thought of.
Yeah. You know what's really cool is, like, Jen and I, we just got married. It was like 1994.
Uh-huh.
And I'm upstairs. You know, I'm doing drywall repair at the time. And, you know, I have a little business, and we're just barely getting by. We have two little kids. And I'm upstairs sleeping, and she was watching TBN. And Matthew Barnett and Tommy Barnett were on the TV, and they just had bought in the Dream Center.
Hmm.
And so they had all this work that needed to be done there. And my wife calls me up, and I come downstairs, and I go, yes, you know, what do you want? And she goes, oh, you know, look at on TV, these people just bought this building, and I think you're supposed to go help them. And I'm like, whatever. And I just went back upstairs and went to sleep. And, you know, I told them that story when I interviewed for the job to their board of directors.
Oh, man.
And it was 15 years later.
Wow.
Everything I learned in that 15 years positioned me to work on that Dream Center building in downtown Los Angeles, that 15-story building, you know, that's helping, that's impacting 100,000 people per week, feeding 30,000 people every week, you know, 200 and some odd ministries that go out of that building. And the really cool thing, Sue, is that, you know, we were able to, you know, take their budget. They, at one time, they were told that the job was going to be $41 million.
Mm.
And we've been able to get that. And more than, you know, at this point right now, we've been able to cut it in half. So it's so exciting to see what God has done.
You know, I actually want to visit the Dream Center because I've heard so much about it. We will be back with more of the Sue Free Show and Mike Rovner on 99.5 KKLA.
What would happen if your computer network went down? It happens every day to businesses large and small. Imagine losing financial records, days of work, or even your entire client database. How damaging would that be? Imagine how different your life would be if you could find out about a computer disaster before it happened. With NSI's free network analysis, you'll get a technical specialist who will not only warn you about any possible threats or system issues, but you'll also get a full inventory of your systems along with a site performance evaluation. And at the conclusion of your analysis, we will sit down with you to explain exactly what we have discovered in terms that make sense. This valuable offer is available for a limited time to all business owners. Wouldn't you like to have peace of mind that your technology is stable and secure? Find out why hundreds of companies like yours choose NSI as their technology partner. Don't rely on luck. Let NSI help. To schedule your free analysis and see how NSI can help your business strengthen its technological base, call 866-671-0089, extension 204. That's 866-671-0089, extension 204. Call today and find out what it's like to have a true technology partner working for your business. Call 866-671-0089, extension 204.
They're called the stealth bugs of the insect world, termites, every homeowner's nightmare. But a lot of KKLA listeners don't lose a moment of sleep over termites because of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. They are California's leading ecological alternative termite control company. You see, Ecola gets rid of termites by using family-friendly, poison-free alternatives like Electrogun that seeks out and eliminates the little rascals, microwave process for small areas, and their new Ecola Heat using clean, hot air for entire walls. No embarrassing circus tent over your home. No poison gas, no bagging your food, or moving out for a couple of days. Ecola Termite and Pest Control gets rid of termites effectively and quickly. So call Ecola at 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS. Ecola. Powerful termite and pest control as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 800-332-BUGS. This is the Sue Free Show.
So we're back again, and we're talking with Mike Rovner, and I accidentally hung up on him on the break, so we're trying to get him back. And when we were talking, well, let me just give you this phone number again, so if you want to call in, it's 888-995-5552. And see, even in this stage and doing what I'm doing, see, we make mistakes. But you know what? It's okay because you know, God picks us up, brushes us off. We're called to brush ourselves off, and we move on. And I think he's back on the air, Mike. I am so sorry. Are you there?
Yeah, that's okay. I got cut off.
You know, you got cut off because I just hung up and didn't put you on hold. So silly
it
me.
Happens.
Yeah, I just love our conversation off the air, and I want to reiterate on that is something you said is that all of the things that happened up until the point that you were at that boardroom talking to those people regarding the Dream Center and proposing your proposal to them, all of the things that happened in your life up to that point was grooming you, was the word you used, grooming you for this situation.
Yeah, totally. You know, here's the thing is, Sue, the people that know my wife and I and my wife Janet and I, they go like this. They say, Mike and Janet have had so many victories, but you know what the truth of the matter is? We've had so many trials.
Exactly.
And really what I found out is all the trials that we have had have just been training for future victories.
And that's exactly true, and that's what I say too, is that people listening, what I have to say to you right now is this, is that you might be going through a trial, you might have something happening, and sometimes in my life I would say, God, you say you won't give me more than I can handle. Why does it feel like it's more than I can handle right now? Have you ever had that, Mike?
Oh, gosh. And you know what the thing is? Trials are just not fun.
No. They hurt.
I love the scripture that says in 1 James 2, it says, count it all joy, my dear brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Because you know the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and not lacking anything. So, I mean, you know, the scripture says count it all joy, but it's very challenging to count it all joy.
It certainly is.
But the thing is, those trials are the things, are the actual incidences or times in our life that really perfect our faith. You wouldn't need God, because if you're just, everything was a victory, you wouldn't need God. So these trials make us depend on God. They make our faith, they exercise our faith and make our faith stronger. You know, they make us mature. You know, I'm not saying I like going through trials. I'm just saying that without trials, you know, first of all, we would just never grow.
And I say that, you know, you don't appreciate the good if you don't have some bad. If everything's always good, then you don't really appreciate anything.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you know, honestly, to be 100% transparent, I mean, in the last, you know, several years, you know, my wife and I have had tremendous challenges in our marriage. And you know what? Today I could honestly say that our marriage is so much stronger than it was 5 years ago, because we've had to just significantly go through challenges. And it's not, I remember begging God, just saying, God, please show me how to interact better with my wife. And I mean, what just happens is, I mean, you know, like, you know, our kids have grown up and they're out of the house. And sometimes you just look at each other and you're like, hey, do we still like each other anymore? You know, and you just we had to learn how to like interact and live without having kids in the house. I mean, we're empty nesting now. And then my wife started her own business, and we were working together, and we just never had worked together in a professional manner, you know, in like an actual business-type atmosphere. And it was just significantly challenging. But, you know, I could tell you after, you know, hours of counseling and many hours of prayer that our marriage is doing significantly better, and I'm super excited that we're going to have, like, this testimony to share to other people that both, like, there's not a lot of people that both the husband and the wife are both in business. Like, my wife and I each have our own business.
Uh-huh.
But you know what? We've learned a tremendous amount.
Well, I learned, my daughter had my husband and I go to this class, and it's on marriage. And something that was said there that resonated with me, because I always thought I wanted to be in ministry with my husband. But that didn't happen. We ended up being in the bug business together. And that didn't work out really well either, because his ways and my ways are really, really different. And boundaries are really important. And sometimes if you overlap, you're going to have a problem. So we had issues there. But what was said at that class was that when you get married, that your marriage is a mission. And you're doing the mission together. And if you stay focused on the mission, then you're going to work together. You're going to walk together. You're going to, you know, you might have differences, but if you understand the goal at the end of the line, then you can work with that mission. And I never had it put that way to me before. And I just liked that. And so, you know, what is the mission? What's the focus? What's the vision? And, you know, there's been times in my life where I'm like, okay, I'm off track right now. Okay, how do I get back on? What's the deal? And so for the married couples out there, you know, ask your spouse, what is the mission? What is it we're trying to accomplish here? And hopefully it's to win others to the Lord. And you do that by leading by example.
Right.
How are you acting? How are you treating your husband? How are you treating your wife? And if you're not treating each other appropriately, then that's where to start. Look at the, you know, they say, look at the log in your own eye, not the speck
right.
in your brother's. So
I can tell you, Sue, that, you know, I spent some significant times in prayer, and here's what the Lord showed me to do with my wife was, number one is, like, never to go negative with her. I mean, sometimes as men we have a tendency to go negative. Uh-huh. And so everything I say to her, I'm not gotten like graduated this yet. I don't know it. I'm just working it through it, but I try to not go negative.
Uh-huh.
I try and, you know, like, because we're talking, what happens is my wife and I, we get into these conversations that are like domestic conversations within a business context, and we'll be talking about her business. And what happens is I, like, CEO Mike comes out,
right.
You know, like, it's very matter of fact, and it's okay to be that way in your job. It's just not that good to be that way in your marriage.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I'm trying not to, you know, like, I would tell my wife stuff, and now I'm trying to, you know, like, everything I talk to her, I ask her questions instead of telling her. And then the other thing is I'm really trying to celebrate what my wife has done. I mean, you know, if you're a business person, you know, or like the type A person like me, I don't celebrate very often.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I just go from, you know, I conquer and I go on to the next thing. So,
right.
But some people need to be celebrate what they have done. And so those are the things I'm trying to do in my marriage. I think maybe that might help some other people in their marriage.
Right.
So
look at the good, what you're saying.
We're doing great today, I'll tell you.
That's so awesome to hear, and it'll only get better if you stay focused that way.
Yeah.
Then it's a journey, right? We don't ever arrive.
Never.
You know, when we get to heaven, then, you know, Jesus can say, you know, how did I do? But, you know, it is a journey, and we're always learning. And if we weren't learning, it would be quite boring, I think.
I think so, too.
Yeah, what are the best and worst decisions you've ever made?
You know, I'd say the best decision, obviously the best decision I ever made was to accept Christ.
Amen to that.
You know, I mean, it just, you know, I saw someone recently, and, you know, we're a project manager on a big project, and he came up to me, and we were talking, and, you know, he found out I grew up in Simi, and, you know, and where I lived, and he asked my name, and he said, hold on a second. You know, my older brother knew you. You were Marijuana Mike.
Oh, no.
And he said, what happened? And I said, it was so cool, Sue. I was able to say, Jesus happened.
That's so great.
You know, so the best decision I ever made was to accept Christ. It was the best decision. And the second best decision I ever made was to marry my wife, Janet. I mean, you know, like, she's just, you know, like you mentioned that you and your husband are different. Janet and I are the same in some ways, but so different in other ways. And God really showed me, I mean, like, that we're like a puzzle. You know, like, we're like a puzzle piece that fits perfectly together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, what my strengths, some of my strengths are her weaknesses, and my weaknesses are her strengths. So, yeah, I'd have to say that was, you know, my best decisions were there. And then, you know, Janet's just been a really great wife. I mean, you know, like, when we first got married, you know, here I was like a drywall repairman, you know, and, you know, barely ever able to make it. And she just goes like this. She goes, this guy is, you know, my $1 million racehorse. And you know, what do you do to a $1 million racehorse? You feed it well, you know, you tell it could do well, you know, you stroke it, and she just kept feeding me these Christian success books and these business books and leadership books from a Christian perspective. And I just started, you know, I never went to college, Sue. I never, you know, barely graduated from high school, and my only education has been all these Christian business books, you know, success principle books from a biblical perspective that my wife gave me. And I just started reading those. And, you know, as you and I know from, you know, our mutual friend, Bob Harrison, you know, I was given a bunch of his stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that, those things really super helped. I say, you know, the worst decisions that I made were, what happens is, I think, Sue, is, you know, I had several years of success. And what happens is, you know, I was successful because I really relied on God. And I think that if you rely on God, you really position yourself for success. I never thought that, you know, like, I had it all together, or I didn't think that I was smart. And what happened is I just had, like, unprecedented success. And then I started thinking I was smart. And see, that's where people get in trouble is if you, you know, and that's why people that are, you know, very talented sometimes, you know, could fall flat on their face because they start thinking that they're, you know,
all that
in a bag of chips, you know?
Right.
And so, you know, I was doing really good in my construction company, and I thought, you know, that I could start another business that wasn't even in the same business, even in the same arena as what I was good at.
Mm-hmm.
And, I did really bad. And then, you know, I thought, you know, hey, I've been so successful in construction, I could also invest in stocks and bonds and be a, you know, And I just did horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the and then what happened is I had to go back and say, Lord, what did I do? And the Lord really dealt with me as like, you know, in the past I had prayed and said, God, should I move forward? And I stopped doing that, you know, because I had success. So success sometimes can be dangerous.
You have to go back to the basics and where your foundation started. I know that I've had the same struggle. And, you know, I told my staff, you know, we have to go back to basics because we've gotten off track.
Yeah.
And then you pull yourself back and start from there again and work out. But see, there's a biblical principle right there is that, you know, on solid ground.
Yeah.
Right? The seed that's, you know, thrown out and some's going to stay, some's going to blow away, you know. We have to have a strong foundation, and where is our foundation? Another thing you said is that the number one most important decision you ever made was receiving the Lord as your personal Savior. Number two was marrying your wife. And what I tell my children is the same thing. Number one, the number one most important decision you can make is receiving the Lord as your Savior. Number two is the person you're going to marry. Now, for the parents out there that have started, you know, they're thinking about having children, or you haven't even started. Did you pray for your children when they were in the womb? Because I prayed for mine. Did you, Mike?
Well, when Jen and I got married, Ryan was six and Nicole was five, so it was a little, you know. And I got to be honest, you know, like
backwards a little bit.
Yeah, I got went backwards a little bit.
But that's okay.
But you know what? One of the things is, you know, I wasn't like a perfect parent, but I just love those kids so much.
And love is the most important.
And,
they say faith, hope, and love.
And so here, the things that, I mean, we have two wonderful, very successful, talented children. I mean, they're the coolest kids in the world. And the two things that Jan and I did with our kids were, I think number one is that we taught our kids to give.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Jan and I have always, you know, from the first day that we got married, we were tithers at our church, and we helped our church, and we helped organizations. So our kids really learned how to give. And the second thing we taught our kids was how to work.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my kids were never allowed to sleep past like 9 o'clock on Saturday morning. And you know, sometimes I had to go to work on Saturday, and I wouldn't be there. And my wife always worked on Saturdays, and so because she's in the hair industry and the beauty industry,
mm-hmm.
so the kids were always so happy when I would, you know, when I'd leave early and they'd get to sleep in on Saturday. But it just, you know, my kids recently told me, they said, Janet and, you know, my wife's a much harder worker than me. And so between the two of us, we're pretty good workers. And, you know, the main thing is we taught our kids how to work and how to give. And if you could teach your kids that, they're going to be successful.
You spoke encouragement and love to them. You know, I tell parents also, don't talk negatively to your children. You know, don't say, you always do this, you never do that, or you are such a, you know, I've heard mothers in grocery stores say, you're such a brat. And I'm like, don't say that to your child. They're a gift from God. Tell them they're a gift from God. Don't tell them they're, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And also, do you pray for your kids' spouses?
Yeah, I do, actually, every day.
Yeah, me too.
Every day I pray that two things over my kids are, one thing is that they would fall deep in love with Jesus, and they would serve him every day of their life.
Mm-hmm.
And second, I pray for their future spouse, that they would marry the person, the right person, and you know, I just ask God to remove any bad relationships out of their life. And
mm-hmm.
so neither one of my kids have gotten married yet, and I'm just believing that, you know, they're going to marry the right person from God.
Me too. I'm believing that too, and it's so important. And what I'm realizing now, because both my kids aren't married yet either, and what I'm realizing is that when they get married, they're marrying the whole family.
Yeah.
And my daughter, you know, and my son, they're marrying the whole family. So it's important that the families all get along and, you know, that it's not just the two of them, because Christmas and holidays and babies coming and all that, you know, it's like the whole family is involved in this. So you want to make sure that it's a fit.
I agree.
And it's got to be God's fit.
Yes.
So, Mike, we don't have much time left. This is the Sue Free Show at 99.5 KKLA. And what advice would you give to the listeners now? You know, there's so many different avenues, different ways we've gone. There's different arenas we've headed down as far as success levels and God levels and children, parenting, marriage. What advice would you give to the listeners now that could be life-changing for them? Because isn't that what we want? That's why I do the show.
Yeah.
It's not about me. It's a sacrifice for me. but I want it to make a difference in people's lives. I really, really have a heart, and I feel like people hurt, and I can't see everybody because I'm on the radio, and I wish I could see the hurting people, so I give them a big hug. All I can do is talk. I can say words, and I can pray about the people listening, that God can touch them and bring the people in their lives that are going to change their life. And if we can say one thing that could change these people's lives, that could make a difference forever, of course, receiving the Lord is so vitally important to the health and the lifeblood of the individuals out there. We know that because we've been there and we've done it. But there's people still hesitating that are listening, that are saying, well, no, I have to get my act together before I receive the Lord. That's a lie of the devil, because Jesus is reaching down right now, and he wants you to reach up to him. So if you're listening right now and you're thinking, I'm not worthy, that's a lie of the devil. You are worthy because Jesus died for you. And all you have to do is look up, reach up, and ask the Lord into your heart. Ask him to take over your life, because he's a better navigator than you could ever be. Ask him to take over your life and guide you with every word and every thought, because he'll hold your thoughts captive and he'll set you free from anything that's holding you back. If you're depressed, let somebody know that you're depressed. Don't hold that in. Don't be isolated. That's devil too. Don't isolate yourself. Please just reach out. It's hard sometimes, especially when you haven't been in a safe place, to know what is safe. How do you know what's safe? Find a safe place. Find a safe person. Be vulnerable and transparent, and let somebody know what's happening. So, Mike, what do you want to say to the people out there listening?
Well, you know, before I give you my last few things, too, I want to let people know that if they want some resources, if they own their own business, or if they're management, or they're in lower management, middle management, upper management, and they're Christians and they want to put stuff into practice, and if they want some resources that they'll help them be a better business person or be successful or win their sphere of influence, they can go to my website, which is www.profilesforsuccess.org. And there's all kinds of things that they could download for free. They could contact us. We'll send them resources, books, all kinds of things. Our ministry, we don't sell anything, Sue. Most of the stuff we give it away. You know, I felt like the Lord has showed us that, you know, like our ministry stuff is really about ministry. I mean, it's not for us. It's not a stream of income. I mean, we're really trying to add value to people. I mean, you and I have talked about that many times. So if there's anyone out there that would like to get some resources for their church, you know, for them as individuals, www.profilesforsuccess.org. And to answer your question, I'd say, you know, the advice I could give someone, the greatest thing that you can do is to put the Word of God into practice. And I was just sharing at my men's group. I have a group of businessmen that meet every Wednesday, and I've been teaching them how to pray for their business. And I was talking to them about the revelation of God, which, you know, revelation basically only means it's like kind of one of those Christianese words. It means truth that's revealed by God. And there's several, many ways that God will reveal truth to you. I mean, he can reveal truth to you, if you spend time in prayer with him. If you go to church and you're listening to, you know, a good sermon, you know, God could reveal truth to you by reading God's word. He could reveal truth to you by I listen to the Bible on CD as I drive often. Mm-hmm. God can reveal truth to you. But, you know, my favorite way to spend time with God is to worship. Like, I'll have worship music going, and I'll just kind of sing like a little kid.
I love that. I love Christian music. It's just so wonderful, isn't it?
And it just helps me. It just puts me. If you're a business person, I'll tell you one of the things that I do is in my office, 24 hours a day, worship music is going very, very, very low.
Same with me.
And then in my office, when we leave at the end of the day, the last person puts on music, and worship music goes in my office.
That's great.
24 hours a day, because it gets inside the walls.
Yes, it does.
And it changes. So in times of worship, God will show me things. But here's the key. God will show you things in many different ways. The real key is to put it into practice. I mean, I remember years ago, you know, like, you know, my wife and I were challenging challenges and struggles. I said, Lord, what should I do? And the Lord really spoke to me and said, you got to change. You know what I mean? And so I had to make changes in my, you know, in the way that I talked to my wife and the way I interacted with her. I remember my wife and I, the way our schedules were, I had to change my schedule and take off on Monday so we could spend time together. I mean, you know, here's the key is God will show you stuff. He might show you stuff about your kids. He might show you some stuff about your career. Or, but the key is whatever God shows you, and it's not cookie cutter. I think, you know, like we've been taught it's cookie cutter, like we have to read the Bible a certain amount of time. You know, I was telling my men's group, some people read 100 scriptures. I'll read one scripture 100 times. I mean,
right.
That's just what works for me. I mean, you find what works for you and how you can, you know, how you can get the Word of God inside you and do that. But when God, what God shows you, put it into practice.
So what you're saying is to ask and ye shall find. Seek
yep.
And what? How does it go? Ask and you shall find. Seek.
It,
I'm saying it wrong.
The scripture you're talking about is Matthew 7, 7.
Seek and ye shall find.
Seek
ask
and
the
find.
Door shall be opened. That's
yep.
It. And knock. Yeah.
And the door will be opened.
And the door shall be opened.
Here's
so
another great scripture, though, Sue, is James 1, 5. It's one of my favorite scriptures. It's, if anyone lacks wisdom, and wisdom in the New Testament, in the Greek, is right application of truth. So that's what it means in the Greek. So when in James 1:5 it says, if any man lacks right application of the truth, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without finding fault.
So the first step for anyone listening is to ask God to show himself, to show what you need to do. And you don't have to change before you ask that. Ask God in your heart. Ask God to guide your steps, to guide your mind, so that you can be all you're supposed to be, because he designed you for a specific purpose. I've told my kids that from very, very young, that God created you for a specific purpose. I have you for a short period of time, and I was so thankful that God chose me to be your mother. But he chose you, too, and he chose you for a specific purpose, and I just want to see that purpose fulfilled in your life. So you need to ask God to show you what it is you need to change, what you need to do, and he will do it, won't he, Mike?
I agree. I agree. And, you know, here's the thing is I love that scripture, James 1:5, that I found it in this one translation. It's basically like he won't say, I told you so, you know. So I think what happens is when we ask God to help us, and one of my favorite prayers, too, it's like this real sophisticated Christianese prayer. It's like, Jesus, help me, you know. It's God, make it so crystal clear for what I need to do that there's no way I'd make a mistake.
Mike, thank you so much for being on the show.
It was great. It
just
was so
appreciate
fun.
You so much. And we're going to talk off the air.
Okay.
And just understand you are worthy and you are forgiven. God bless you all. Till next Saturday. Bye.
Forgiven in love, child, you're forgiven, and child, you are loved. Child, you're forgiven in love.
The Sue Free Show is sponsored by E. coli Termite and Pest Control Services.
Are raising insurance premiums making it unaffordable to offer quality benefits to your employees? Well, before you throw in the towel on providing affordable employee benefits, call Denon Simpson Insurance Services, the benefits specialist. Denon Simpson saved her clients over $4 million in premiums last year while offering extra benefits like heart scans, stroke scans, even chair massages. Let your employees know how much you appreciate them by offering them a comprehensive benefits package that's easy to manage and affordable. Denon Simpson serves companies throughout Southern California. Clients like Make-A-Wish, A American Self-Storage, the Foursquare Denomination, and ministries around the world. They love an opportunity to save your company thousands too, while providing a culture of wellness and safety. If you're responsible for the health and safety of your employees, call Denon Simpson Insurance Services today at 818-676-0044. That's Denon Simpson Insurance Services for a free evaluation. 818-676-0044. Denon Simpson, the benefit specialist.
Ah, it's that time of the year when bugs multiply like crazy and they start looking for a home, your home. Ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, and a lot of other creepy crawly critters, even rats and other varmints. It's time to call Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services. They offer complete ecological pest control of rodents and insects. Ecola has one-time services, ongoing monthly services, their most popular and economical every other month service, and even quarterly service for occasional pest problems. Ecola keeps rats and mice out and eliminates insects in their nests. It's the most effective way. And their termite control is legendary. So call Ecola today for a free estimate of complete pest and termite control at 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful termite and pest control services as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 800-332-BUGS.